So thank you for having me, Mayor and Niall. So I'm just going to share the experience of the International Federation of Obstetrics and Gynecology, because it's a collective group of about 130 countries, and what is happening in different countries and what can we learn from these countries. That is actually the ethics committee's guidelines, which can be actually obtained if you go into the Google and type www.figo.org. Then there are different publications, and Rebecca Cook was chair of the ethics committee, Bernard Dickens, who is here, professor, chair of the ethics committee. They get together and they look at international experiences, not only in contraception, abortion, but cancer and other things, and put things together, and it's quite a useful reading. So before they put things down in writing, they look at different international practices. And this is their conclusion in terms of abortion. Abortion for non-medical reasons, providing the process of properly informed consent, has been carried out, a woman's rights to autonomy combined with the need to prevent unsafe abortion justifies the provision of safe abortion. In other words, there's two elements there, that is the autonomy of the woman, and also if she doesn't have facilities for a safe abortion, she might go for unsafe abortion and run into difficulties. Now, of course, there is a problem because physicians, most people, and including physicians, prefer to avoid termination of pregnancy. They don't look at the individual circumstances of the woman because the woman has mental, emotional, physical problems when she is really going for termination of pregnancy. A woman doesn't just go and go for termination of pregnancy like showing the, going to the dentist or something. It is causing a lot of trauma to her. And when she goes there, some people are saying, almost like a criminal, they are treated. So that is something which is unacceptable. And that's partly the physician's problem because they don't understand the reasons behind why the FIGO has stated that you can proceed with the abortion if she has given proper consent. So after appropriate counseling, it is a woman has the right to have access to medical or surgical induced abortion, and that the healthcare service has an obligation to provide such services as safely as possible. Now, this is a declaration not only by FIGO, but also by the WHO and the United Nations. So it is all in print, and you can get the details from those different organizations. Now, unsafe abortion causes suffering and deaths. It is well known in many countries. If there is illegal abortion, then obviously due to hemorrhage and sepsis and so on, women die. And unsafe abortion is one of the main causes of maternal deaths in the countries where abortion is illegal. Now, Ireland is, in a way, very fortunate. Now, can you imagine Ireland, which is not have any England or Netherlands close by, and what are these 1,800 women going to do every year? It's a major issue. Of course, because everything is going smoothly, we don't think about it. But if you don't have that facility, even the privileged one who have money won't be able to go there, then there is going to be an issue. Let us take another issue. There's an issue of Zika virus, which happened in Brazil, and it spread to Colombia, but the number of babies born with microcephaly was minimal in Colombia. Why? Because they terminated the pregnancy. Now, Ireland, if you have Zika virus, I was told it won't come. The mosquitoes don't fly the seas, but if they do come, then you'll be end up with microcephalic babies unless you have a provision for such situations to be tackled. So I think we are in a guarded situation in Ireland, so we have to be think about it a little bit more. Because otherwise there will be an issue in terms of that. These are the number of figures which are given in different countries. The first one is talking about Africa, Asia, Latin America, and so on. And if you take Europe, for example, the number of deaths due to legal termination has come down dramatically, Of course, in the developing areas like Africa and Asia, it has not come down to one like Europe. In England, for example, England and Wales, the last so many years, there was not a single maternal death due to termination of pregnancy done legally. So if it is done properly, then there's no issue in terms of deaths compared to illegal abortion. Now, there's always a concept that criminalization of abortion, whether it'll reduce mortality, but seems to be increasing mortality without decreasing the incidence of induced abortions in those countries where they made it illegal. This is in Romania, as you could see, that the blue is the total maternal mortality. In 1965, they brought abortion as illegal, and the maternal mortality went up, and abortion-related mortality also went up. Because they don't have facilities, they will go to some other place. Now, we don't see that in Ireland because they go across the border and get it done and come. So that is an issue which we have to think about carefully. So abortion rate of women between 15 to 45 are greater in countries with restrictive abortion laws. So we looked at certain countries. If you look at the, for you on the left-hand column, those who have restrictive laws, as you could see here, the abortion rates are higher compared to there is liberal abortion laws, they are much lower. So there is a parallel there. So it doesn't mean that by liberalizing you're going to increase the abortion law. Then decriminalization dramatically reduces mortality. This is actually in South Africa. When they had abortion as illegal, there was something like 425 maternal deaths. When they have legalized, the deaths dropped to 36 because it was done in safe conditions and so on. So if it is going to be legalized, it has to be really under conditions where it is safe to do so. And the FIGO and WHO favors greater access to safe abortion services. And the three points we have tackled, the fourth one, it does not increase the abortion rate. For example, if you take France, once they made abortion as legal, you can see the abortion rates coming down. And this is because the number of women who are going for abortion are offered contraceptive services. So immediately after the abortion, they said, ideally you should try to prevent this pregnancy if you don't want a pregnancy. So here you have a IUD or an implant or something. So they don't get pregnant because they will take their interval, because before that they didn't think about it. So as a result, it comes down. And not only in France, but in Italy, it has come down dramatically because additional contraceptive services are given. So in other words, one should not give abortion services purely as abortion services, but it should be combined with contraceptive services so that total abortions can be brought down. This is in Turkey. As you could see here, gradually from 1993, the abortion rates are coming down because of additional contraceptive services. So the reduction in the abortion rates are explained because legal institutional terminations of pregnancy provides an opportunity for family planning, counseling, and provision of effective contraception. Because statistically, if you see countries where they don't offer termination contraception services, then if they have another pregnancy, they come for an abortion. And it is estimated roughly about 50% come back for it if you don't offer contraceptive services. So it's quite important that any abortion services should combine contraceptive services. Now, women with induced abortion have the higher risk of and that is why post-abortion contraception is important. That's the last one. People are not in favor of penalizing who abort. Now, we might think abortion has a stigma generally. People don't like to talk about it. But if you ask them in a confidential inquiry to see, will you find fault with the person who has gone for abortion, what would be your answer? This is some survey done in Brazil, and it depends on how you put it. This is about the public opinion, whether the woman should be punished or not. Because I got it from Brazil, everything seems a little bit Brazilian there. I didn't want to change the language there. The first is actually to see how many will feel that the woman should be punished if they have an abortion for whatever reason. And the blue is religious people and the yellow is non-religious people. And in a population vote, 7.8 of the non-religious people say, whatever they went for, if they had done an abortion, we shouldn't really tangle. If you take the next one, which is actually if the woman had for mental reason, like psychiatric reason, that increases. 37% of non-religious people say that they should be excused. We shouldn't really find fault with them, whereas religious people, 11.9. And the third one is actually if they have some illness and whether they should do that, then it goes up. But if they're a threat to life, then obviously the vast majority says then you shouldn't really punish them. So if they have some illness and they want to get it done, then that should be something which they can live with. So the next point up is physicians are afraid of the stigma but accept abortion for themselves or those close to them. Now, this is just a survey to look at. The first column here is actually 2003, second column is 2005. And if you ask the obstetricians and gynecologists in Brazil, if there is rape, will they permit termination of pregnancy? And you can see that 76 of in 2003 and 84% in 2005, they said they will agree to do a termination of pregnancy if the woman has got rape. The second one is actually there's a grave abnormality on the fetus, fetal malformation. Again, the high percentage will say they will have to terminate the pregnancy. Now, the final third column, two big columns, is actually if there is threat to the mother's life, then again 90% will say the termination has to be done. So I think in terms of rape or incest, malformations, or lethal malformations, and if there's threat to the mother's health, which she might deteriorate and die, then the vast majority, you can say 75-80%, say they should really support this. Now, if there is a grave permanent injury to the mother, they didn't do the survey in 2003, but in 2005, 61% said, yeah, I think we should do a termination to prevent permanent injury. Let me explain a little bit on the permanent injury. Now, as you know, we had this case which I came for an inquiry, where there was a sepsis in the uterus. And the woman was deteriorating in health, and the only way we could have saved the life is to have terminated the pregnancy earlier, although the fetal heart was present. Because the mother dies, the baby is not there. So it's no point of arguing there. But if you don't terminate it early, she's going to get pelvic inflammatory disease if you terminate late and if she survives. That means she will be coming every 3 months, 6 months with pelvic pain. She won't be able to do some work. She will have infertility. All these consequences. That means that's what we call as permanent injury to the woman. So should we really do that? And we recommended that, but that was not taken in because there the opinion is not so high compared to the others. But that is something which you have to seriously think about, because permanent injury is something sometimes difficult to quantify, but it's worth considering what happens. Now, if there's a rape, what the obstetricians do in Brazil, who are very religious, 35% said they will do the abortion, 15% they said they will prescribe the misoprostol, and 50% said they will ask somebody else to do. That means they will refer the case. So there is this division here, but how do we really get everything to understand? And we are really looking at our individual opinions of physicians and public and so on, but we are not looking at the woman herself as when she is in that trouble, when she is raped and get pregnant, if she has fetal malformations. And I know of women who carry an uncatholic fetus with a big tummy, they're walking on the road, and the woman is saying, in fact, it happened to me here when I came. I didn't know anything about it. I said, oh, it's nice to see you pregnant. Congratulations. I hope everything goes well. And she's crying. Now, I didn't know anything about it. But then the person who was by the side said she has an anencephalic fetus, carrying it to term. When I asked the obstetrician, some said they would have terminated early. Some said no. and she didn't have any money probably to go and get the termination done, and she's carrying, walking around. So that is something which you have to really think about, not about people's opinion and also the physician's opinions, but also if the woman, in a woman's point of view, what we have to really think about. So now if we do a survey of obstetricians and gynecologists in such situations or in other situations where abortion is needed, would they recommend a colleague known to do safe abortions? Would they refer the patient? Or will they teach a woman to use misoprostol or do the abortion themselves? This is the physician's answer, that if a client comes to them, 38% will offer some help. Either they will refer, as mentioned earlier on, or give misoprostol or do the abortions themselves. But if it is their family member, then more people will offer the abortion. 42% feel. So if you are a woman and you are close to an obstetrician and gynecologist, you are lucky. 42% will have it. Now wait to see this statistics here. Now did you or your partner ever had an absolutely unwanted pregnancy? Did you or your partner ever have an abortion? This is staggering. The female obstetricians and gynecologists, 78% had abortion done themselves. And 80%, the husband managed to get the abortion done, either by giving misoprostol or doing the termination or, and so on. So there is a discrepancy here about how you are connected and what your view. Your views have swung from 30% if it is somebody who is not known to 80% I'll do the abortion, or if it is my wife, if it is my sister. So that is again not a good way of managing these cases. This is actually a client or family member, which again, based on the religious basis, if it is religious people versus non-religious, and if it is non-religious, then obviously the proportions are more, where they will give it if there's a family member or herself or the partner to have the abortion done. So what is required for a better understanding of safe abortion is to make clear that it is not promoting abortion, and there will not be less abortion if the women are punished. As I showed you from figures from different countries, by punishing, you're not going to bring the abortion down. Recognize that fetus exists and has a moral value. We are not saying that you just ignore the fetus has a moral value. But if we are talking about a mother who has three children and who is having a severe cardiac failure or an infection, she has to look after the three children, versus a 12-week fetus, and if you terminate the pregnancy, she's going to live. If you don't terminate, she's going to die or get into permanent ill health or renal disease, which is deteriorating. What do we do? So this is something of a balance between what we call as the moral value and to establish clear limits of gestational age, because many countries have said, okay, we'll take all this argument, but in our country, this is what the normal limits are, because depending on the facilities as well. For example, we just heard about misoprostol and mifepristone, the medical termination. That is useful up to 9 weeks of pregnancy. So if you don't have facilities and other things to provide, then maybe that's your limit. If you're going to do suction termination, you can go up to 12 weeks. So it depends on what people can provide and how safely they can provide this, and establish the conditions when abortion is permitted. So we have to really look at it very carefully. And promote the same time the intervention with proven capacity to reduce abortions. In other words, we are not promoting abortion, but make sure contraception is the key. Contraception, contraception, before, during, after, whichever way, you have to really try to do that. So the position of FIGO about unsafe abortion causes suffering and death. Criminalization only increases mortality without decreasing the incidence of induced abortion. Decriminalization dramatically reduces mortality, and decriminalization does not increase the abortion rate. And people are not in favor of penalizing women who abort, and physicians are afraid of the stigma but accept the abortion for themselves or those close to them. Now, the Irish abortion law, you have heard quite a lot about that, and they have the right to travel to other countries to have an abortion. There's a 13th Amendment and the right to the information about abortion provision in other countries. You have heard that in detail. Now, If you look at that, and it also recognized that abortion is legal when a pregnancy endangers a woman's life. So these two is operating in Ireland at the moment in some way, because you can do a termination under different clauses, clause 789, which just came in 2014, January, about when the woman's life is in danger and so on and so forth, and the others go and have it done. And this was precipitated by number of incidents of Mrs. X's psychiatric condition, then Savita's case, and so on and so forth. So let us step back and look at what was mentioned earlier on. In 2015, 3,500 women traveled to England and Wales for an abortion. And the additional women went to Netherlands and elsewhere in Europe. And 96% were carried out under ground C. These were pregnancies 24th week, and we looked at the statistic from Ireland. 90% were done under 12 weeks. So they had gone fairly early to have this done. And so on. A small proportion is under different clause, but all were privately funded. So these 3,500 women have a privilege rather than a right in some way. You are buying the privilege by having the money, whereas the women who can't really go there will have to carry on whatever the circumstances are. And should we try to bring about a balance? And the situation is not different in Northern Ireland. It's the same. They're also protesting and marching around. So some resolution has to be made somewhere down the line. And I just want you to think about it. And just to say that this is actually the United Nations Assembly in 2011. They passed the right of everyone to enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health in accordance with human rights. The Council Resolutions 1522 and 629 specifically talks about abortion, and they really request that provide safe abortion services and also provide safe contraceptive services. So in conclusion, I would say good reproductive health should be viewed as a public health concern, which apart from the provision of safe and high quality abortion care must include having sex and relationship education in the national school curriculum, so they don't get pregnant. So you do a primary prevention of educating, and if they are going to have sex, what and what they should do. And then access to the family planning and contraceptive services. So do the primary prevention, if not, facilitate the safe abortion care. And at that time, you do the secondary prevention by providing contraceptive services when soon after the miscarriage or abortion. Thank you very much indeed.